Welcome back to the Spinner Rack, all you new you maniacs, here for season four of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with Justice number 24 and
Andy with a backup story with almost no words in it. But yeah, right, should be exciting. I'll make sound effects. In 1986, our new universe was launched as a new imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window, where you would have real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, although we've seen those characters in other places. And the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams, streamlined origins, and probably becoming more action-oriented as the new you gets more militarized in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, The Pit. Even though the book was a little bit dull. Since then, we've seen the US government drafting paranormals and maybe gearing up for a war of some kind. Of course, listeners to our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. You can find us at kickersinc.com. I just install the new thing that shows our current episode. You can just click and listen to it right away whenever you want, which is fun. Trivia contests available, and you can find us on X, and maybe Steven will update X at some point even.
Hey.
At Kickers Inc.
Spring break took most of a month over in my neck of the woods for some reason. And I know you, I always used to think of that as like, all right, time to chill out at home and get some projects done. And now it's like, all right, time to run around like a madman trying to entertain small people.
My brother was visiting this weekend, and I mentioned the website or something, or that we were on Twitter. He's like, oh yeah, I found that on Twitter. Like, it doesn't seem to update very much though. Accidental burn. Anyway,
The schedule for the Twitter is to do a post on Monday and then on Friday once the episode drops. So I usually like I try to get that, but right, what I'm posting this week is like there's so many funny panels from one of these issues of Starbrand that just released that like
right.
it's difficult to narrow the choices down, and
That's the Trump baby, right?
that's the one.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Even more.
So keep an eye out for that. Go look at those old tweets from months ago and find what we're talking about. All right. So we should probably get back to our mystery man, Justice. John Tenson is a paranormal who wields the sword and shield of justice. He brings his black and white fight against evil to paranormals who misuse their powers. Or does he? Possibly also works for the NSC.
This week, Justice number 24, a paranormal citizen has returned to his hometown, only to find a welcome that's less than friendly. Which side will Justice support? You'll be surprised, and you'll be even more surprised at what Justice does when he reaches that decision. Wow, okay. Edge of my seat now. Written by Peter David, penciled by Lee Weeks, inked by Mike Gustavich.
I'm not surprised. I'm going to be surprisingly disappointed. And yeah, so we have a backup story, The Weapons of Cowards.
Let us jump on in to Justice number 24, which is cover dated October 1988. We believe hit the stands July 12th, 1988. The inside front cover, I don't think it has anything new on the sort of recap. So the creative team, though, as opposed to what we just said in the Marvel Age blurb, is Peter David writer Mike Gustavich art. So Gustavich doing penciling and inking. I don't know. Interesting. We've got a cover by Lee Weeks, which is it's a little it's got Justice in kind of his costume being decked by like a giant fist that's rising out of the ground, kind of like how the Sandman would attack Spider-Man sometimes. There's a guy dressed in normal clothes who's sort of mimicking this motion, so we assume his like paranormal opponent. And in the background, it's kind of a, let's say, a small town setting, it looks like to be. And there's a title, Showdown. So hot paranormal versus paranormal action, the way you like it.
I thought that was DP7 that where we got that,
Okay, well, I
but
can use it here too if I have to.
all right. All right.
So Justice had been in DC and been sort of recruited by the NSC and Terrence Updike, National Security Council, some spook show basically in DC that wants to wrangle up some paranormals. Justice was like drugged and hallucinating for a couple issues, and then when he snapped out of it, he was confronted by the Justice Brigade, who self-immolated, I think, last issue. So that was left him with sort of a on a downbeat ending. And this issue, we see Justice headed out west. So let's see where this takes him. We start off with a Greyhound bus that's got a sign in the window for Dallas, so it's going through Texas. And a couple of guys with these sort of narration boxes, you don't see them too clearly inside the window of the bus, talking, and sounds like they've been going on for a while. Hope I haven't been bending your ear too much, mister. I don't want to be one of those guys who blab so much you go nuts. Not at all. It's just that I've been away a while, and I appreciate your filling me in on what I've been missing. So this sort of young man is saying that he's getting off in Duncanville. It's his hometown, and it's not really much of anything there, but we've already been proud of that. Nothing much has changed there for who knows how long. Then they drive by a big billboard. Have you registered for the draft? Well, maybe one or two things have changed. Like, I don't recall that billboard. Sign of the times. You must be happy to be getting back home. Well, I'm not so sure they'll be happy to see me. Really? I recall a song about a man coming home after a long absence. He was a convict, I think. Huh? Yes, this when he came home, his sweetheart tied a yellow ribbon around an old oak tree to let him know he was welcome. Yellow ribbon, huh? Yes, perhaps someone in your town has heard the song. They get off, and there's a sign, Get out of town! So you remember Tie a Yellow Ribbon?
I don't remember it, but I did look it up.
Tony Orlando and Dawn? Was there
Yeah.
another version?
I think there was a bunch of versions, yeah.
Oh,
It's sort
okay.
of like a classic story.
Interesting.
But yeah, usually in reference to like waiting for, a wife waiting for like a military man to come home, maybe like a specific branch, but I forget.
That's kind of how I
Cavalry or
remember it
something.
better. I didn't look it up again, but yeah, it was like I didn't really associate it with someone being away in prison, but I guess that would all work too. And
Oh, there's a little tidbit I'm picking up here. Like you can see Justice is holding a newspaper, and like faintly on there, you can see like a person in a suit with their like face all wrapped up in bandages, which I assume is
yeah,
a
it's
resident.
Mr. Negative from the Doom Patrol. Wait, is that what is it? Negative Man, sorry. There's a couple of or at least that's a nice shot at the back of Justice's newspaper. Let's see. Man's like, well, I guess we part in company. Perhaps not. I'm getting off here too on business. I don't know. Okay. So coming on to me, man. It's, whatever. Just going home. So he's the young man whose name is Dennis, sees the sign, get out of town, and Justice says, it seems someone really isn't happy to see you. Well, I hope things work out for you, Dennis. Thanks, mister. Sorry, I didn't get your name. I am Justice in the typeface logo I like so much. Justice Tenson. Oh, like that actor? What's his name? Judge Reinhold. Yes, just like him. John Justice Tenson. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt Justice Tenson.
That's only slightly lamer than calling yourself Justice Tenson.
I gotta say, it doesn't really roll off the tongue. I would just go with John, but that would also work.
Right.
I mean,
This is the first time him with him calling himself that, right? I
yeah,
hope you follow up.
I mean, he calls himself Justice, or he calls himself John Tenson.
Yeah.
Justice Tenson.
We've come a long way from Tenzin just being his name as a justice warrior out of place from the Springlands. So.
Tenson. I would have also accepted that. No, Tenson's my first name. Tenson's my last name. You.
Anyway, he's got a cowboy hat now.
He's looking very cowboyish, and a duster. So someone told him to blend in when he got to Texas, I guess. Anyway.
Right. So he went to the costume store.
So he's the next page. It is Justice narrating again about how it's a charming old style Texas town. He's headed for the only inn in town to spend the night. He gets there and he sees a guy sort of thrown out the door onto the street, and he just thinks to himself, must be happy hour. So it's even though this is 1988, it's like
He walks into
1888.
an Old West saloon.
I think Jonah Hex would walk into these saloons more frequently, but okay. We have another little note. The old barroom conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you, I think the president's dead, and they're covering it up. This is a conversation blooms a little bit. I'll tell you who's dead. Dennis Foley. That's who's dead. The kids in the hall guy? No,
Oh.
the guy who was on the bus. Oh, okay. Yeah, the Scuzzbucket comes back to town. The nerve. And Justice asks for a room. They make a small joke, very small. And the bartender slash innkeeper asks him, what would you like to drink? Beer? Whiskey? Milk. Everyone stops and turns to look at Justice. Did you say milk, cowboy? It's good enough for cows. Okay.
It was like a commercial for milk or something. I don't know.
I guess
See, feels a little silly.
it's yeah. The there's a character did not it was not like identified in the first page, who comes up and Justice asks him about talking that he was talking about Dennis Foley. And this is what my understanding is, that he committed a crime and went to jail for it. He's paid his debt to society. Why continue to persecute him? And who are you, his mommy? Just a stranger. A stranger who cares about justice. I mean, a justice who cares about strangeness. I mean, unlike you fat slob. And goads the guy into taking a swing at him. He blocks it with his shield and hurts his hand. Justice throws him out onto the street. We cut away to Washington, D.C., where Angela, Justice's daughter, is being accosted by by Justice's colleague, Kleenex, Victor Pasco. who has a paranormal with the ability to sense paranormals.
And they make him sneeze.
Make him sneeze. Angela, achoo. Wait, achoo up. Why, Klee, Victor? So he runs up to her, gives her some perfume. He's like, oh, thanks. Oh, I have to put it on while you watch me. Okay. She tries it, and his sneezing calms right down. And he's like, smells great. Would you like to go out? They have a new display at the Air and Space Museum. That's a safe date, you know. That's Washington to it for you. Always something new. She agrees. They walk past the office of Terrence Updike, where is sitting Colonel Mac Browning, McIntyre Browning. Should we joke about him shooting civilians some more?
It happens.
You know,
But these people work for the NSC, so I don't know that they're technically civilians, so they should be safe.
this is true.
Maybe Angela's in trouble.
He's got his eye on her. The assistant to Terrence Updike, Chauncey, we've seen in the background a couple of times, comes up and tells McIntyre that Updike is out of town for the moment and he, you know, can't meet with him. And McIntyre is like, Chauncey says, can I give him a message? McIntyre socks him in the jaw and tell him that's for the new vaccination mark he so kindly gave me. So he's still mad about getting tranked and shot up when he tried to kill Justice a couple issues ago. We are back in Texas, and Dennis Foley is being trailed by Justice as he goes to visit what turns out to be his parents. They answer the door at his house and then close it, slam it in his face. And he's not too happy about that. But I think he's blowing the door open with what we later see as a paranormal power.
Yeah, I don't think I even picked up on that like the first time. It's like you see like a panel of like wind kind of going by his face, like when he's upset, and then yeah, the door kind of whooshes open, but it also looks a little bit like he pushed it open really hard, so it's a little subtle.
Yeah, I think wait until later to get into it, but he pushes into the house and sort of confronts his folks. I thought of all people, you guys would be behind me. Dennis, you gotta understand, these are terrifying times we got here. Cities blowing up, president injured, everyone talking about war. The comic series coming soon from Marvel Comics. We've got enough fear in our lives. We don't need to be afraid of the people in our own town and what they'll do if you come to live here. Real nice speech, Dad. See ya. Now we cut away to Camp David, which is the presidential vacation spot, I guess, outside DC.
Yeah.
And there's a meeting of spook show guys, I guess.
You think Camp David really has a giant brick wall that says Camp David on it?
My impression is that it's like, you know, it's one of these things where you don't see what's going on until they're like on top of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, oh, this is a
You
perfectly normal
drive
country
down the wrong
road.
road, and there's a little station there with a bar and some guards, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who they call Baker. There's a James Baker who was like a cabinet secretary to Reagan and Bush one, I want to say, but I don't know if this
Okay.
is meant to be him. And he is saying, you've all had your respective intelligence gathering networks working on finding out what happened to the president. I assure you the full scope of what has happened has not could not be surmised by your people. We've released photos of the president in bandages, but it's time for to fill you on the reality or unreality of the situation. And this guy's a great warm-up act. I hope Closer has half the material he does. Mr. President, they're as ready as they'll ever be. Come in, sir. In walks what I assume to be President Ronald Reagan, although he is completely generic and without any sort of identifying features. Good day, gentlemen. Be seated. We see the reaction sort of from these guys in shadow. What's going on here, Baker? Is this some sort of gag? What is this? There's talk of plastic surgery, but there's no scars, no bruises. He couldn't. It's me, all right, gentlemen. Medical history of the case is being provided for you. We want to keep this quiet, but for it's time for you to know. You're paranormal. Commander in chief, it seems, is a paranormal. Oh, that's just marvelous. It was bad enough in the 50s when everyone was red. Now everybody is a paranormal. We can't let this get out. And apparently that's Updike. Updike's right. This country's screwed up as it is. If people think the president is, pardon the expression, sir, a freak, everything will be in chaos. I have to keep a lid on this. Otherwise, it could be mass hysteria. Someone pipes up, it could be mass acceptance. If everyone knows the president is paranormal, it'd be more acceptable. We can't take that chance. This is actually not too unrealistic because the president is just kind of a, you know, backseat driver to his own administration. Actually, I have a plan. What if, instead of letting the spook shows run the country, how about we let the elected leaders do it? Voted down.
No. Yeah.
What if I say I died from my injuries? Then I come back as a totally new politician and I can run for office again. No more lame duck president. Everyone groans at this idea as if it's a bad joke. Well, Nancy liked it. So whatever we leave those guys to. Note that Updike is part of this inner circle, but Browning was not. Was one of the interesting things I took away from that.
Good point.
I always sort of, yeah, we see these like high muckety mucks and who like pull the strings behind the scenes, but there's, you know, who's really up at the top of the thing. Apparently Updike is. Well, we cut back to the Angela and Victor, Phoenix, Pasco, walking around the Air and Space Museum. And we've got one of these like large halls where the planes are suspended from the ceiling. I haven't been there in a while, so I don't remember where that is. But
I think Angela, it's Air and Space Museum. That's where they said they were going.
Right. Oh, right, right.
Air and space.
Well, where's the space?
Down the hall.
Okay. So Angela is talking up about her father, Justice. Dad's been so distant, especially after that Justice Brigade business a few weeks ago. Something he's not talking about. Anyway, it's nice to get away and think about other things. Angela, all you do is talk about your father.
It's pretty much your only point in the story.
Victor is a observant fellow. He starts sneezing like crazy again, and she asks him, Victor, what in the world are you allergic to anyway? To paranormals! Just then, we have Psyhawk and Rodstvo from Psyforce burst through the ceiling, I guess, with a huge crash. Unannounced crossover. All right.
Yeah.
This story wasn't dated, but the Psyforce 24 that started that story, that fight. It's again April, I think, in there.
Yeah, they probably left the date out so they didn't make a mistake or something.
Probably a good move. Yeah. So you can assume it's like that same day that all this other activity was going on in that book. But looking back at Angela and Victor, they've got a bunch of roof
I think it's
and
airplane
plane
parts, yeah.
airplane parts falling down on them from this I don't know, clash of titans they have going on up above. And Victor kind of pushes Angela out of the way, but gets clocked by something with a big chud, and he falls down. And then we see him just sort of buried beneath rubble. Victor! Victor! And we see the opening in the ceiling, these two figures are sort of zapping away. And Angela's screaming, "You monsters! You monsters! I'll get you. And if I don't, my father will." I'm pretty surprised to see Kleenex buying it here. You
You think he's
think?
dead? He might have.
I mean, that looks like, code for dead when you're like buried under rubble, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a guaranteed death.
Okay.
He's probably dead, but.
He's fulfilled his function probably, which is to allude to that he's allergic to paranormals and he sneezes around Angela.
Yeah.
And he hit on a girl half his age.
Right.
That's
He
just a
finally got
plus.
that date
Anyway, back to Texas, the Kreider General Store. Dennis, the paranormal, has walked into the talked to the owner there, who is an older woman. She's not too happy. "Mrs. Kreider? Yes, baby. You animal, you and your friend, you killed my husband. They're letting you walk the streets again. Only 3 years. They should have sent you away for 3,000 years." So Dennis makes a bit of a speech trying to explain what happened. It was his friend's idea to rob them. He didn't know his friend had a gun. Nothing was going to happen. He didn't think anything was going to happen. They were just a couple of goof-offs, drunk, put on ski masks, go, act up and try to get a few bucks. And apparently, Mrs. Kreider's husband pulled out a shotgun. Hank pulled out his gun. And I don't know if they don't say what happened to his friend, but the owner was killed. So.
He probably got the 3,000 year sentence.
Yeah.
That way, they even keep your bones in the cell.
He's like, so yeah, he was not happy about it either, but she's not cutting him any slack. "Yeah, I remember. I remember you were responsible for my husband's death, as responsible as your friend." He's pretty, sober minded about it. "I've got to live with that for the rest of my life, but I wanted to live it here in the only town I've ever called home. Can't I start over?" And the probably
I hear you've got a job opening since your husband's not working here anymore. Too soon, too
too
soon.
soon. But the guy who Justice threw out of the bar earlier and a few other roughnecks, I guess, are supposed to be come in. "No, Foley, you can't, because no matter what, one thing won't change. Old man Kreider will still be dead. Get him."
It's
So we have
like
a little
Scooby-Doo. They're all running at him with their arms out. Get him!
yeah. And then is
Run into a hallway filled with all these doors on either side, and he runs into one side, and they chase him, and he comes out a different door.
There's these large jars, and he jumps into one, and then his head pokes out of another.
One way to do it.
I mean, do we think this is Justice narrating this next part, or is this like omniscient voice of the author? I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's got to be Justice, though,
You're gonna say, okay.
since he was tailing him.
Yeah, he was. Let me see. Is it color coded? Yeah, his narration's blue before too, so let's just say it's justice. He says he thinks to himself, it's like something out of an old Western. They have so many names for it, all with mob in it. Mob rule, mob justice, mob mentality, lynch mob. And then there's the whimsical necktie party, as if a man's death will be accompanied with colorful hats and noisemakers. And people like to say that kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Not in America. And to think, some people think paranormals are fantasies. Luckily, before it gets any more turgid, they are interrupted.
Do they have a noose waiting for him?
Yeah,
Yeah,
they're
okay.
like right outside, I guess, or this crowd is carrying him to a tree with a noose swinging there.
Somebody must have bought like daggers in bulk too for those like signs on the trees too. Like they're just gonna leave the whole knife there.
They as the top the first panel of the next page has an interesting a guy sort of runs off from off page and listen, you morons, it's all over the news. Two guys like gods or something fighting at the Capitol. It's the end of the world. It's all over. Seaside Force number 25. We're all
Portion.
gonna die. In Seaside Force number 25. And then we see that justice is there. I doubt they're gods, gentlemen. They're probably paranormals. Like myself. Zap! And Justice proves his great power by digging a small trench with his shield, I guess.
No,
Man.
sword.
I mean, that doesn't look like a burn spot, but okay. And like Dennis, put him down, please, before you anger him or me. The crowd is taken aback. He's like this guy? And Justice continues. Dennis could have killed you all where you stood with the power he acquired while still in prison. Dennis, you don't need these people. You and I, we have the power. They blow up a car? Maybe.
Maybe if he also felt like the trench digging demonstration was a little weak.
Okay. Justice continues. These are frightening times. War is in the air. The world is holding its breath in anticipation of its end. And we, the paranormals, will be there to rise above it. With my power of magnetism, I shall forge a new. And you and I are capable of incredible things. Why, we could destroy this town at a whim. Watch! No! Dennis leaps into action. Whether it's wants me or not, this is my town, my home. And we see this sort of wind whirling around him and then forming itself into a whip fist. Until this second, I didn't know why I'd been given the power over the air, but now I do. It's to stop monsters like you. And we get a bit of recreation of the cover with Justice being hit strongly and bowled over by some. What we see is just fist of air. Dennis, wait, don't. You're making a tremendous mistake as the wind whips around him. It won't be the first, but at least this one I can live with. Sends more wind to strike at Justice.
Like
We don't
whirls him
really.
up in a Tasmanian devil kind of tornado and sends him down the road.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of in the very corner of that panel. You can imagine those are his feet. And he's, yeah, like in a whirlwind that is carrying him away. Interesting. I was working on Dennis's code name. I was thinking Blowhard.
Break wind.
Blowjob. That's maybe too ambiguous.
He can team him up with Vibe and Lube or whatever.
Windjammer. Dennis turns around and makes a speech. You don't have to look at me that way. I won't hurt you, although I sure wouldn't have let you kill me. On the other hand, I don't want to worry about someone blowing my brains out in my sleep. So I'm out of here. Happy? And the mob that was pretty mad at him a second ago. Wait, not so fast. Yeah, look, someone with your power, kind of power around would be like, what do you call it? Detente. I mean, with freaks like that white-haired guy running around wrecking things. Yeah, and those two guys in Washington I was just talking about. Boy, that guy really loves to butt in with that, you know. He was like watching the news and he like ran out there and he's just got to get his say his piece. Anyway, so having our own guy watching out for us, it'd be like having our own secret weapon. Ah, but what about what you said before? What about old man Kreider? Who cares about him?
We're just looking for a good reason to hang somebody.
Small town life. It's pretty boring here, Dennis. I really do anything to spice things up. I honestly can't tell if that like line is meant to like be especially painful to him, maybe.
Yeah.
Like it, because at least he cares that, you know, he feels bad about being responsible for this guy's death. But that the other people in town are willing to sort of forget about them, about it, to put their own safety ahead of it. I guess it felt like that was like an extra zing for him. We see Dennis walking alone to the outskirts of town, I guess, and comes around a tree where there's Justice waiting for him. My hat's gone. I loved that hat. Going back a couple pages, Justice was not wearing this hat when
There was
he
no hat.
fought in this. I
Lying about the hat.
Well, it's justice, not truth. So, I mean,
Good point.
still.
He's just trying to scam a new hat out of that guy. Oh, well, you know, now your whole town forgives you, but you can't buy me a hat.
If I were you, I would have thrown in a nice pair of cowboy boots with that too. I mean, that's just how I think, you know.
Maybe a meal at a nice restaurant like Mendy's.
So Dennis says, "I'll buy you a new one." He continues, "I don't know how to thank you. When you came up to me outside my parents' house and suggested this whole thing, this not at all contrived pseudo fight. I'm a great believer in justice, but lately I've been considering the great advantages of justice tempered with mercy. You paid for your mistake, you're entitled to another chance, but I'll be watching you. Anyone with the power to control air molecules bears watching. Better hope there's no stiff winds here in Duncanville, Dennis." I don't know. Anyway. So he, what about the people you work for? I'll come up with something. The apparently Updike at the NSC had sent him out here to investigate this guy, and I guess probably try to draft him in, but Justice thinks he'll just, you know, talk him out of it. But he continues, "What concerns me is that report of two paranormals fighting. It was lucky for our little showdown, but ah, Tenson." Tenson, what's wrong? Justice is just crawling on the ground. Some sort of psychic scream. As if something with incredible power just died. You mean like Obi-Wan Kenobi felt? That
When the
is the
Death
correct
Star blew
literal.
up the planet?
Yes, the reference is correct. Anyway, I would bet it was connected with those paranormals fighting at the state capitol. Not the state capitol, Tenson. The nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Washington? Angela! To be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
Why does Tenzin here feel a psychic scream? He's not psychic. And the
I
other guy's
mean,
paranormal.
yeah, like if it's a paranormal thing, they would have both been doubled over. Angela? Hurt? I don't know. Not from what we saw, but hopefully she's not the one who's dead.
Well, she's not an incredible power dying, so, or maybe she was.
Isn't she? Yeah, I
Oh,
don't know. They, yeah, if Kleenex hadn't pushed her out of the way and like something had fallen on her, she'd like rise with the power of Phoenix.
ooh.
You know, anyway. I guess we'll stop there to review the issue.
Yeah.
What sayest thou?
I
I mean,
reckon these fellers make a pretty good Western.
you know, I said I was going to use a lot of cowboy voices, and then I didn't use any cowboy
You just got a little
voices.
Reagan and a little half Reagan. It was okay. I mean, I guess it's just kind of okay, right? Like, you
That's
got a
about
couple of
what it is.
cut-ins. Like, they're at least finally wrapping in the president story, though it still all feels like it's not necessarily heading anywhere. But at least it's mentioned, because that would be sort of a big deal. Which is nice, the little tie-in with Rostvow. You know, another issue where we still are just vaguely pointing at his daughter's powers. But yeah, I don't know. It's like the random story of meeting the paranormal and helping him save the day. It's like a Quantum Leap episode or something, maybe, like a mediocre Quantum Leap. I'm a cowboy today? Oh, who do I need to help today?
Psychic cowboy, how can that be a thing? Yeah, I it feels pretty low stakes. I mean, it's a decent enough like story of this sort of, you know, one-off isolated incident, character, and let's call it flyover country, and, you
Yeah.
know, sort of coastal view of small town America. Basically, everyone there is a hillbilly that's ready to lynch you at a moment's notice, I guess.
Though I looked up Duncanville and it's really close to Dallas. So like to the point where like now it looks like it's been pretty much absorbed by Dallas.
Yeah, I checked it out too. It was maybe 30,000 people when around in the 80s. And now, I mean, as opposed to this like the whitest lynch mob you've ever seen, it is like 50% Hispanic and 30% African American.
Yeah,
So
right. So
it's changed a
I
bit.
guess they were all hiding from the lynch mob.
Fear of white supremacy
We
driven them
can't
all
burn
into the
crosses, but let's just put yellow ribbons up instead. That'll scare them.
It's I mean, the I'm gonna say that Gustavich by himself is a little less detailed than Lee Weeks.
Yeah.
It's not entirely dissimilar. I hadn't even honestly like realize that Weeks wasn't involved, but yeah, I would say it's not the best issue in terms of the art style. Generally fine, but
Yeah,
okay.
it fits with my okayness.
Yeah.
If we're spending so much time with this character too in the book, like, you know, he's not that interesting. And honestly, like, current justice is not super interesting. Like,
I mean, it's like, yeah, Justice has been sent out here on a mission by the NSC. Which is only slightly worse than like him just sort of running around randomly running into things. It's like, look, either, you know, wholeheartedly work for this spook show or fight them, but don't just be kind of, eh, I guess I'll like take a paycheck and kind of half-ass it through my assignment. I mean,
That's
that's
the
what I do with
American
my
way.
job.
That is the American way, dude.
I expected better of you, Justice. I don't know.
The lowest amount possible so you don't get fired.
I have a bad like feeling that we've seen the last of Kleenex, which would
Yeah.
be kind of surprising. I mean, he didn't have a lot more to do in the story, I'm guessing, but I do always like you know, things that sort of tie this all together, these books all together, with like Browning being sort of making appearances and things for different reasons. I really do like, I mean, Psi-Force, you know, few issues ago, there was like, crisis with the Cyforce kids, and then they, there's a backup story with Stassi and Kathy we hadn't seen in a while to kind of get so. So it's like it has a good set way of they sort of bounce around that the events in that book have
Right.
really kind of taken over into the other books, which is good. So yeah, it's I'm with you with it being kind of okay, not really bowling me over in any particular direction, but nothing to like, complain about, I would say otherwise.
Yeah, inoffensive.
That was until no, there was but the as I was saying, the sort of flyover state thing and the stuff about the mob attack and all that was when I first read this a few weeks ago, I was like, I mean, you're kind of overdoing it with this, like, everyone is ready to go mob crazy on at a drop of a hat.
Right, panic.
But then we had like a rough couple of weeks here. And I realized something. There is now online mob mentality. And
True.
so it was at what it first seemed like just kind of like another like, oh, small town hicks will, whatever, pick on you for no reason. We had some recent sadness in the comic community. Creators were mobbed, and there was controversy, and a guy killed himself, honestly. And I mean, there was a lot of talk in the last couple weeks about how the online bullying and stuff contributed to that or caused that. And I don't want to sort of over draw it all into this, dump it all into this thing. But it's like if we think we're, 100% beyond this, I gotta admit, apparently we aren't. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there that is pretty similar in some ways to this kind of oh well, someone we gotta drag him down, blah blah blah. I didn't, want to get too down into it, but there was a really nice thing by Rob Liefeld, in the wake of that, where he talked a bit about how we need to be better at giving grace instead of judgment to people. I'd recommend his checking out his talk if you get a chance. I know people would complain about some of the things that the Bible wags a finger at, but a lot of the things they talk about as being watching out for are gossip and being rumor mongers and that sort of, poison pen attitude. They had a lot of, I guess, issues trying to raise, develop healthy communities and positive growth back then, even. And there is something to be said for that now. By the way, do you
Yeah,
remember when?
might be swinging in the wrong direction a little bit,
No.
even if well intended at times. Yeah.
It's yeah. Anyway, it's been a thing hanging out there in the last week or two. So I was like, this does actually make a kid, remind me of that more than it had reminded me of anything sort of contemporary when I first read it. So anyway, the whatchamacallit? I don't know. B to B minus on the
B
book.
minus. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, I think I might be grading on average a little bit lower than I used to, but C plus. Well,
What
in
happened to
the
you,
average
man?
range.
Okay.
I
Yeah,
think it's probably
it's.
because I'm in school reading papers again and stuff. So it's like I got the grading mentality going. C plus.
Man. super critical grading mentality.
Oh
All righty, want to hit us up in with a backup story there?
yeah. So we get a little Medusa Web side story, The Weapons of Cowards. Fabian Nicieza, writer, Hector Collazo, penciler, who I looked up, who was part of the Marvel Special Projects Department. Like, so when you needed a comic book written for your action figure, or the cereal box, or like a snack advertisement or something, it might be Victor Collazo. But yeah, so I guess it just opens with Potiphar. Yeah, he was like the, I don't know, was he Iraqi or Iranian?
He was Egyptian.
He's Egyptian, that's right. The Egyptian Punisher type guy. He's not a paranormal, but he was joining the Medusa Web, most recently shooting Kathy Lang. So, man, I don't really like this guy. So,
The guy
yeah.
who shot a teenage girl, that's your new action hero? You
But
sure, Nacieza? Yeah, you know.
basically, open splash page with him like kicking open a door, guns blazing. Literally, he's got that like gun that Arnold had in Predator with the little rocket grenade launcher thing. And then we get a little mission direction thing. Mission operative, Potifar. Directive, secure a shipment of chemical nerve gas stolen from the Iraqi army by an Iranian border patrol and return it to the Iraqi army contact.
That
Kirkuk
that's the
border
best
region.
laugh I got out of this whole issue, I think.
Hey, we gotta get that nerve gas back to the Iraqis. These weapons of mass destruction. In the event of an incompletion in the mission, eliminate shipment viability as an option for Iranian forces. So you could destroy the nerve gas, I guess. Do not, repeat, do not allow personal bias toward nations involved or nature of cargo to interfere with operating procedure. So what side would Egypt have been on in that? Any clue? I don't know.
Honestly, Egypt was, I want to say they were friendly to us, or at least reasonably so, because they had they weren't they had like signed peace accords with Israel sometime before that. But at that point, I'm gonna say Iraq was friendlier to us than Iran, so that's why we're trying to get the nerve gas and give it back to the Iraqis.
Yeah, we were trying to help them
But
gas
yeah,
the
so
Iranians.
the Iraq-Iran war was going on for ages, and we'd really were anti-Iran. But Egypt, I'm not even sure, yeah, what feeling this guy would have had. So
Anyway, so he walks in on the people he killed who were playing cards, and we get the lights flash, vroom, vroom, and he goes, ch-ch. Picks the grenade launch, thump, boom. There's no words. I'm making sounds here. You see the flames. A bunch of guys run up on him, start shooting. He dives into the sandbags, pulls the grenade, throws it, boom. Yes, it's just all
I
action scenes.
challenged Andy to stretch this one out as much as he could. It's just,
Smoking.
it's like the wordless silent snake issue. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe.
But a little more basic.
Yeah.
So he takes out a bunch of guys, kind of walks up on them. There's a truck driving off. Honestly, it looks like he kind of launches himself. Does he got some kind of like flying backpack thing? It's really hard to tell.
It does have like a Boba Fett feel to it there.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
don't get a good look at it. But he kind of like launches himself from the high ground, lands like belly flop onto the windshield of this truck, which is like, ouch, your ribs. But pretty much just action heroes the whole thing out, right? So, imagine any 80s action movie, you got these big, like Russian looking green trucks with the covered back, and he swings the door open and punches the guy and throws him out and pulls a knife and kills the other guy and tosses him out. So basically, that was the truck filled with the nerve gas, presumably. Maybe German nerve gas because it's verboten red boxes. They look like the things in video games that you'd shoot and they would explode.
I think that's probably true. The German chemicals industry was, if I recall, like known to provide precursors at least to various third world countries.
Nice. Some good old-fashioned sarin gas. But yeah, so he commandeers the truck, drives it to the meet. There's like two guys standing there with a helicopter behind. It's one of those little tiny like bubble, like egg-shaped helicopters. Potifar just kind of looks at them, looks them over. There's like a pickup vehicle, so like a helicopter comes down kind of off screen and like grabs the truck with all the stuff in it. They give him some cash, translated. You can count it. It's all there. He says, "Of course it is. If it weren't, we wouldn't be standing here." Like, okay. Because he would have killed them, or I don't know. Anyway, so two helicopters, one carrying the chemical gas, one carrying the guys he met, both start to fly off, and he just kind of stands there, pulls out a bazooka, blows up the nerve gas, which also causes the other helicopter to crash. So he just kills everybody, and says to himself, "Nerve gas, pheh, cowards, afraid of metal, afraid of flesh." And that's it.
He pulls out
I
his
mean, wait,
bazooka.
there's kaboom.
The pulling out the bazooka is like about how I play Grand Theft Auto, where it's like, I've got like this, a couple of small caliber things, and then I just pull out a bazooka for some reason
I
and
guess that
start.
must be one of what was on his back then.
I guess, yeah, in the previous page, that's a big thing. Okay.
You
Some.
cowards killing people with your nerve gas,
It looks like the
Definitely
two.
way better to kill people with rocket launchers.
It looks like the tubes you carry your poster in when you go to a conference. You like
Right?
roll it up and put it in there. Anyway,
Right.
yeah, he's morally superior to the Iraqi-Irani nerve gas aficionados.
Fabian, we need a backup story for this issue of Justice. What do you want to write about? I don't
Does it
know.
have a lot of
Killing some
words?
dudes.
Oh no.
How do you get writing credit for this? There's like five words.
It's a I mean, I appreciate the sort of like bounce around the new universe and sort of show that it's a lot going on. This is like the of characters I would like to see more of. Potiphar is pretty far down there.
Right, even on the Medusa web, he's fairly far down there. Give me a Thunderhead or something. At least we get a fun accent out of him. Or give me a story where Cathy Lang tracks this guy down and kills him. Like that'd be some emotional impact.
Yeah, it's
Blows the nerve gas back at him or something. I don't know.
I
I
don't know.
don't
Potiphar and Pitbull can team up and take on the something something. Let's
know.
see, what else we got this issue? We've got a house ad from Silver Surfer graphic novel.
Stan
Stan
Lee
Lee
writing
and
it? Wow,
John
okay.
Tsubishima? I'll be honest, I don't remember this. Mephisto and Galactus and Silver Surfer. I remember there was like a Stan Lee and Mobius two-parter or graphic novel that was around that time that that was nice. But this one doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Let's just say I've
Yeah, but
never been interested in Silver Surfer.
I mean, it also had an ongoing series at the time that Ron Lim had just taken over the art for, which I don't recall being my. I recall getting it for a while, but it was it didn't really do much for me. It was like a lot of stuff on the other side of the galaxy with the elders of the universe, and it's like, I don't care about these guys or
yeah, at some
which
point
one
it
of
gets
them.
too like cosmic, ultra powerful, and you just like, you know, there's no grounding whatsoever.
Truly, if you want something that's the opposite of the new universe, you can go right along with the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I guess so.
We have a promo piece that I did just put that up on Twitter.
Cripes, yeah.
And
I guess that's in reference to Mastodon, right? In the DP7 issue.
Yeah.
He was like going crazy. And
yeah, we covered the DP7 number 24, and we believe that was what was being promoted in there.
Yeah, and we skipped over the cover for the next Justice is like it gets a full page, you know, full color ad, and it's just like some weird looking guy who's got Justice in his sights, basically.
Yeah, it's like a sniper or something, and with then Justice being in the target. And I'm guessing when we're back in DC, because that's like the Washington Monument down there.
All right.
So yeah, it's at first I thought that was blowout from the draft, but I don't think so. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? The glasses and sort
it's
of
more
the
of a stylish glasses than, and he's got like a weird flat top thing going on.
Yeah, and if you can, you've got a paranormal power, then you don't need the sniper rifle or whatever. So yeah, that's a probably new antagonist.
Yeah.
That's gunning for Justice. I will save my complaints about Justice's aimlessness until then. And then the universe news, as we've covered, though I'm not sure we did the profile on Mike Gustavich, which, and since this was his issue,
we should at least mention him. Yeah, he likes playing Galaxian, which is kind of fun.
He's done
also was inker on Falcon and Iceman limited series. Like, it's like two B characters combined to make a C comic, maybe.
Boy, I hate to say I don't remember that at all either. Yeah. That is a random couple of characters to put together for me, but he likes Woody Allen. It's a little nerdy. He
eats the inside of an Oreo cookie with the frosting.
He aspires to ink a John Buscema book someday. That's his ambition. He's worst part of his job is erasing the pages after inking and getting to Federal Express before they close. Yeah, back in the day, you would do all your drawings in pencil, and then the inker would erase it all. So your work has now disappeared.
Crazy.
He likes to have fun with the misses, so I'm sort of a nice normal guy kind of vibe I'm getting from that.
Yeah.
Good for him. I don't know if he's still around or because a couple of the creators pop up on the Facebook fan page sometimes, but
yeah, something tells me he is not, but I don't really know. That's a guess.
Let's see.
Were you going to say something about not having annuals?
I was. This is, we're not that issue 24, this is the last one. And as we said, we're not going to do our break until after the 25s. But I realized that after the 12s, we had a good set of four annuals. We do not have any annuals at this time.
Yeah. I don't like annuals, so I'm pretty okay with that.
It is sort of a good question. What the first round of annuals we noticed seemed to be a lot of like going back and filling in the spaces of like where what, the exact moment people got their powers or something, if they'd kind of glossed over that in the books themselves. Justice never got an annual. With everything sort of so tightly tied together, and as you see, I mean, Cyforce to this was just 2 weeks ago, and it's another week or two before we get the resolution of that. I mean, it might just, be the effort to for greater continuity is making it difficult for them to jam more stuff in between things. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been interesting as like a to use it as a fill in the gaps kind of thing, but also then, like, how important is any of that stuff, right? Do you get kind of like fill in people writing fill in stories a little bit just to kind of round out stuff? So.
There's also the possibility that that's been sort of taken over by the idea of these prestige format books,
That's
the
true, yeah.
draft and the upcoming war. So, yeah, I
I wonder how
mean,
the witness is doing these days. Like, wasn't he supposed to be tracking down Ken? Oh, maybe the witness is the ghost of Myron haunting him or something. He's figured out how to make himself appear.
That would at least be, I mean, yeah, I'm just waiting for like a better explanation and just knowing we're not going to get it. So,
Yeah.
was this the witness all along, or the was Myron somehow? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions out there. I don't think Justice is going to answer them, and I don't think Dennis Foley is going to answer them. Really, any more guesses for like a code name for Foley?
Flying Foley, I don't know.
The mighty wind. All righty.
How about this one? Do you know, or can we guess as to which of the Titans has passed, Psyhawk or Rodstvo? Have you got insider info? Because I don't know.
I do remember them saying like the promo that like, well, is it what it says there? I don't want to say because I had to like write up, future promos, so it's more of a
Okay,
spoiler.
got it. I'm guessing Psyhawk, but we'll see if I'm right. Well, anyway, so let's do that promo thing, right? That's it for this week. In case you're wondering, this season, as we call them, will go up to the 25 issues, so we're not quite done just yet. Next time, our new now, whatever it is, universe checks in on those lovable troublemaking teens in their ultimate confrontation. Psyforce 25.
Psyforce 25. It's a titanic fight to the finish when the Psyhawk tackles is typo there. The Russian paranormal Rodstow. That's also a typo there. This is all from my Marvel age. I transcribed it as best I could. And only one will survive. Written by Fabian Nyeseza, penciled by Graham Nolan, inked by Mike Witherbee.
Yowzas. Until then, kickersinc.com, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Hey, Hoop, I haven't been bending your ear too much, mister. I don't want to be one of those guys who blabs so much you go nuts.